Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. We're going to feature a recent webcast I hosted to examine the just-released macro rules for 2022 and the changes that are involved. For instance, we discuss how the rule affects physician revenue and the tensions that may result. This is a topic of importance for clinicians and administrators alike, and the webcast was part of the Vizient Medical Leadership Series. It features two leading experts, and I think you'll find their insights valuable.
Let's meet our guests for today's program in reference to MACRA. We'd like to first welcome back Dr. Maddie McDowell. And Maddie, please tell us about your background and your current role here at Vizient.
Hi, Tom. So I am Principal and Medical Director of the Healthcare Intelligence Company, SG2, which is part of Vizient. It's great to be back with you and Valinda. This is our fourth year doing the annual update for the final rule. So looking forward to the conversation today.
Thanks for joining us, Maddie. Also returning is Valinda Rutledge. Valinda, why don't you tell us about your current role and your background?
Sure. Thank you so much. And I echo Maddie's comments. This is our fourth year. And I'll tell you, Tom, it's one of my favorite webinars of the year. I work with SG2 and Maddie as a colleague. I'm a senior advisor at SG2 and previously was a health system CEO and also worked at CMMI, was one of the original four people that helped set up CMMI.
Thank you and welcome, Valinda. So here are our objectives for today's presentation. We're going to outline the 2022 changes to the Quality Payment Program, including the Merit-Based Incentive Payment System, or MIPS, as well as the MSSP. We'll actually describe the outlook for APMs going into 2022 and explain updated telehealth and split visit payment rules that occurred during 2022. This is actually pretty impactful. So what do we say? Let's just jump right to it. Valinda, let's start what's going on with changes in reference to payments in 2022.
This is probably the most concerning, I think, from most of the physicians' organization, is that we have a potential decrease of a negative 9.75% in the fee schedule that will be effective January 1st until Congress takes action. And what is within that negative 9.75%? There was a 0% update through MACRA. We had the sequester that had been on hold, the 2%. Sequester was on hold through the PHE and now expires December 31st. Congress had put a moratorium on the negative 3.75% that happened from last year's physician fee schedule. And then from the American Rescue Plan in March, there was a 4% paygo that the Congress was unable to determine how to cover all those expenses with the American Rescue Plan. So we have a potential, and this is real, a negative 9.75% in all the physician fee schedule effective January 1st.
Valinda, this is pretty disturbing. Is there any breaking news at all?
Yes. I'm so glad you asked me that. So last night, about 11 o'clock, the House passed a package to offset not all of that 9.75%, but the bulk of it. And right now, they are eliminating the paygo. They are decreasing the 3.75 down to 0.75. And then the sequester, they're going to have a transitional period. But in July, we will still have that sequester, which leaves us by July, we will see a 2.75% decrease. And that is assuming that the Senate passes what the House just passed last night. So it's not like we're going to end up with a zero, but we're not going to end up with a 9.75. So I'd recommend all of the physician organizations start looking at a scenario of 9.7 and 2.75, because that's going to be the best, is a decrease of 2.75% next year.
I would also recommend reaching out to your federal representatives immediately, if not sooner, and give your opinions.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially the Senate.
Yep. Tough pill to swallow during a pandemic.
Yeah. And in reference to even Valinda, there are some changes occurring with even split visits. First of all, I mean, if you think about it, this is pretty impactful for many of our members.
Right. So split visits are done in a facility. It's not done in the practice, because in the practice, non-physician providers bill incidental to the physician. So this is only in the facility, and it's between a physician and a non-physician provider that's in the same group. It cannot be in two different groups. So if you're in the same group, the physician and the non-physician provider are providing care together, then there are some changes in how you bill. So it limits whoever is billing to be more than half of the visit. So mm-hmm. what does that mean? And CMS has defined half of the visit is when you have a substantial portion of the visit. So just supervising that non-physician provider does not qualify as a substantial part of the visit. Now, they have allowed a transition time. In 2022, you can use history, exam, medical decision-making, or time to get to more than half of that visit. So if you are looking at the chart as a physician, that would be medical decision-making. But you have to be spending more than half of that visit that is done with that patient. Now, even if you're not direct face-to-face with that patient. But in 2023, it's pure time, Tom. It's just pure time. So history, exam, and medical decision-making goes away. Why this is significant is that if the non-physician provider is providing more than half of the time, starting in 2023, then you have to bill under their fee schedule, which is 15% less from the physician. So the other thing that they are requiring is whoever is going to bill has to date and time and acknowledge in the medical record that they are the provider that is doing more than half of the work with the patient. And so it is not only a hit from a financial point of view that organizations will be taking, but it will also be a workflow issue. You're going to have to get groups together to talk about how you're going to designate who has spent more time with the patient. You're going to have to put within your medical records an acknowledgement of it. And then you're probably going to have to sit down with your CFO and your billing people to figure out what's the financial hit on it, because most people have been billing under the physician at 100%. So this is pretty significant. It's significant for the ER docs, hospitalists, and critical care.
I see this even particularly a lot for our specialists as well as a hospitalist out there that you use your APPs in a larger proportion. So again, I want to preface, this is in the inpatient facility, not so much the ambulatory. It starts January 1st, and whoever documents that they're spending the amount of time that they spent more than half the amount of time going into 2022.
Right. Well, that starts in 23. In 22, there's a transition period where you can still bill at the physician level if you've done one of those three pieces.
Yeah, history, exam, and medical decision making.
That was due to a lot of pushback in the comment section on this.
Very good.
They made that allowance.
But as long as they document that part is what I'm trying to drive at.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So, hey, Maddie, also there's lots of changes that occurred or lots that's happened in telehealth coverage and other reimbursements. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Here's some a little bit of good news, and you've all heard about the telehealth parity payment being extended beyond the public health emergency to the end of calendar year 2023. So that's for all telehealth visits. In addition, in the final rule, they have supported mental telehealth visit payment. So this will continue outside of PHE indefinitely, with the restrictions removed for geographic site and home as a beneficiary site. There are some requirements, though. There needs to be an in-person visit within 6 months of the initial telehealth visit and a follow-up visit every 12 months if you're continuing to do telehealth. The other exception they made is that the provider has to be able to do bi-directional video, audio, telehealth, but there is an exception for if the beneficiary can only do audio, that will also be paid for. I think this is a good window into how CMS is thinking about paying for telehealth overall. So this could be how they roll this out for other specialties. And they've developed a commission that will look at this in more detail, as well as looking at how to expand telehealth to remote patient monitoring and other services.
Belinda, I understand there's some changes that also occurred in MACRA.
Yes. In MACRA, they have moved up the performance threshold, and this is the threshold that you either get a penalty or get an incentive. They have moved it up from 60 to 75, and they've also increased the exceptional bonus threshold. It was at 85, now they've moved it to 89. So anything above 89, you will be able to get part of that exceptional bonus. And Maddie will be telling us a little bit more information about that exceptional bonus later on. The quality has been reduced from 40 to 30. So both of the cost and quality is exactly equally weighted, which is what Congress wanted. They've allowed this transition period over the last few years. They have allowed the extreme and uncontrollable circumstance exceptions to continue. And what that has done is that has decreased the amount of people that are in the penalty. Because anyone that thinks that they may be in a penalty, they usually go ahead and put that extreme and uncontrollable circumstance. So if COVID was an example of it, also California wildfires, any hurricanes, any major storms, you can put your exception in. They have added social workers and certified nurse midwives. These are the two new categories that will start this year. And they've allowed the complex patient bonus again for the second year. Because of COVID.
Well, that's the first part of our podcast. We'll return with part two with more information on the macro rule for 2022. And our thanks to Belinda Rutledge and Dr. Maddie McDowell for providing their insights. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.